What is south of the map of Middle-earth that we know? What did Tolkien tell us about it? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the place for you. Welcome. If you picture the map of Middle-earth, it quickly becomes apparent that the story we know is set mostly in the northwest, in what looks like a much larger continent. We looked in a previous video about what lies east of that map, that's Rûn, but what lies south? Well, if you head south from Mordor over the Mountains of Shadow, or from Gondor through Harondor, you get to Harad. There's near Harad, then far Harad further on, and we probably should start as we did when talking about Rûn. That is simply the Elvish word for east. Harad is the word for south. The men of Harad are therefore the Haradrim, the southern host, which tells us immediately the lens through which all of our information comes about the south. This is seen from their outside, from their north. We don't hear their side of things. We know little of their culture or their heroes. We don't even know what they call themselves. We just know them as generic southerners. The stories we have come from the elves and men who mostly travelled west from their awakening in Rûn back in the mists of time. Some, though, stayed where they were, and some travelled south. They settled in what we know as Harad, and built settlements and lives away from the melting pot of First Age Beleriand. We next encounter them in the Second Age, when the Numenoreans started to explore eastwards away from their island continent. The Numenoreans had, of course, been banned from sailing too far west, so heading east was obvious. They landed on the coast of Harad and started to engage with the people that they found there. At first, this seems to have been a positive engagement. There was trade, and as the Numenoreans were already very technologically advanced compared to humans in other parts of the world, they taught them some crafting and agriculture skills. As the decades and centuries passed, those visits became more frequent, and ports and settlements were built along the coast. Of particular note here are the Havens of Umber, a natural deep water port sheltered from the ocean by a peninsula. This grew over time into a large port and fortified city. At this time, Numenor was reaching the height of its power, but it was also in moral decline, turning their back on the Valar and their friendship with the elves. And we see one of the many aspects of that in what happened in Harad. The Numenoreans started claiming the lands they settled, naming themselves lords, and demanded the people who already lived there, the Haradrim, pay them tribute. The Haradrim fought back and fell in line behind a powerful leader who could stand strong against these invaders, Sauron. Around this time, we can probably assume that at least one and possibly two or three of Sauron's rings of power were given to kings, warriors, and sorcerers in Harad to aid them in their fight. Of course, those new ring-bearers would eventually fall even more under Sauron's control as Nazgûl. This is a side we don't often see in the Legendarium. The Haradrim, so often the enemies of Gondor, fighting for their lives against the Numenorean colonisers. It shows how they were so easily manipulated into following Sauron. He must have seemed like the only person who could actually face up to their oppressors. So Harad, like most of the East, fell under Sauron's control. We also, at this point, get a rare insight into their culture. They were fierce warriors, we're told. They wrought things with iron, so must have had at least a rudimentary mining and smithing industry, and built walled cities of stone. It seems like a hard culture in hard times. And after the Numenoreans captured Sauron, or Sauron allowed himself to be caught, and took him to Numenor, those times got even harder. We read that the Numenoreans sailed now with power and armoury to Middle-earth, and they came no longer as bringers of gifts, nor even as rulers, but as fierce men of war. And they hunted the men of Middle-earth, and took their goods, and enslaved them. And many they slew cruelly upon their altars. For they built in their fortresses temples and great tombs in those days, and men feared them. And the memory of the kindly kings of ancient days faded from the world, and was darkened by many a tale of dread. Behind the scenes, Sauron, who had set himself up as the protector of the Haradrim, was actually encouraging the Numenoreans to those extremes. So when Sauron returned after the fall of Numenor, the Haradrim were ready to bend to his will even more, remembering what had happened when he hadn't been there. Nefarious stuff. Harad was firmly supportive of Sauron during the War of the Last Alliance of Elves and Men. And also during that period of Sauron's captivity, some Numenoreans who had turned to support Sauron moved to Harad and escaped the Doom of Numenor. They became known as the Black Numenoreans. The ethnicity of the Haradrim is thus, like in Gondor, a mix of humans who had stayed in Middle-earth and those who had been Numenoreans. For all the talk of the nobility of the heritage of Aragorn or Denethor, there will have been those with similar ancestry in Harad. Of course, Sauron fell at the end of the Second Age, but old alliances and enmities held strong, and for most of the Third Age, Harad was in some kind of conflict with Gondor. Gondor invaded a couple of times, holding the port city of Umbar for several centuries, and in return, the Haradrim and the Corsairs of Umbar, a piratical raiding civilization that had grown up around the port of Umbar, attacked and raided Gondor. And Rohan, getting as far inland as supporting the Dunlendings in their invasion that culminated in that first siege of Helm's Deep. And of course, in the War of the Ring, with Sauron's return again, the Corsairs of Umbar raided the south coast of Gondor, and the Haradrim joined the Battle of the Pelennor Fields. Afterwards, we're told that Aragorn subdued Umbar and made peace with Harad during his long reign. So that's the history. What else do we know? The people were darker skinned than those in the north, and the weather was warmer. The hobbits refer to Harad as the Sunlands, though it's not clear that any hobbit had ever actually been there. The land between Gondor and Harad was largely desert, though much further south we hear of dark forests with apes in them. And there are camels and olifants, of course, as well. In between, we hear of fortified towns and cities, fields and mines, coastal settlements and local lords. In truth, other than the climate and some local fauna, it seems quite similar to Gondor. What is south of Far Harad? Well, we know even less, though what we do know is rooted in ancient Middle-earth history. In the wake of the Battle of the Powers, when the Valar struggled against Morgoth, the world was changed. We know few details of the actual battle. The Valar sheltered the elves from it, so they just felt the shaking of the earth and the skies lit up by fire. But we know that afterwards, the inland sea of Ringil, to the south and east of the land we know now as Harad, expanded and became a great sea, flowing northeastwards and joining by straits both the western and eastern seas. In effect, the bottom part of Middle-earth was rent from the top, forming a new continent to the south. This became known as the Dark Lands, and only really appears in an early map by Tolkien. There's no significant mention of it at all in the later Legendarium. The name Dark Lands, like Harad, tells us a lot, that almost nothing was known of it by the elves of Middle-earth, and perhaps also reflects that it would have literally been dark in those early days. Before the sun, Arda was illuminated by the two trees of Valinor, far away on the other side of the world, and the stars, which were strange down there. So that is what is south of the map of Middle-earth that we know, a land rich in history and culture that we only know a little about in Harad, and one we know almost nothing of even further south. Tolkien is sometimes accused of treating all those in the east and south of his world as somehow morally inferior, generically evil and slavish followers of Sauron, but I think his writing was a lot subtler than that. That was what the people of northwestern Middle-earth thought of the Haradrim, so that is what is reflected in our stories. And when you dig a little deeper, you find a rich culture that is actually perhaps to be pitied a little for what has happened to them. Enslaved and killed by the Numenoreans, manipulated and dominated by Sauron, invaded repeatedly by Gondor, treated so indifferently by the elves that they can't even be bothered to find out what they call themselves. I'm sure the Haradrim were far from perfect, but there's no reason to think they were evil, per se. And they do seem to have been the victims of oppressive regimes more than invaders themselves. As a note of hope, though, I find it immensely encouraging that Aragorn made peace, not war, with the Haradrim. Perhaps he understood that free from Sauron's dominion, they deserved a chance to build their civilization, and wouldn't just try to attack Gondor because... And perhaps Aragorn understood that because when he was younger, he actually went there to see for himself and found out what the Haradrim were really like, one of the very, very few we read about who did. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen, or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.